Well, it's been interesting, that worship focus, right? It has been something that was an idea that we've had to implement at what time to allow the church to pray in the midst of the gathered body. And it's interesting, if you've been here with us the last few weeks, it's taken on a little bit of a different flavor each week, hasn't it? Which is really interesting. And I'm so grateful that you are all willing to participate in that way. And that there's reason to give thanks, and there's reason to petition for physical health and for things that are going on, and there's reason to quiet ourselves. And I affirm that, and I affirm that sense of, there's a sense as a worship leader where you want to be in control. Like, you want everything to follow a clear plan, and yet sometimes that's not what happens. Sometimes God is on the move in certain ways, and the Spirit moves in ways you weren't expecting. And so I'm grateful for that this morning. And I'm grateful for Revive Wesleyan, where we don't just talk here. We follow through on our core values. Our core value of Scripture states that God's Word is central and authoritative for our salvation. And the Wesleyan Church, the discipline, calls the entire Bible superior to all human authority. That means every canonical book. Yes, Old Testament and New. I know it includes the book of Numbers. I know. Inevitably, when you proclaim this about the entire Bible, you're going to find some points of tension. You just are. One of my professors at IWS, the Institute for Worship Studies, where I've been studying doctorally, his name is Vaughn Crotipton. He described it to me this way. The Bible can be really hard. And we've been studying Peter's first letter in this series called Sincerely, and today we come to one of those topics, one of those words that causes us to deliberate, to have a sort of healthy wrestling with God's Word, that forces us to consider our bias and question our worldview. And it's really one word, and this word makes us cringe sometimes. This word has been weaponized at times. This word has been viewed as defeat or giving in at times. It's been used to subjugate individuals and people groups. The word is submit. Submit, from the Greek hypotasso, to place or rank underneath, to yield oneself to the authority or the will of another, to permit oneself to be subjected to another will. And that sounds great when we're talking about God and Jesus, right? I'll let God be God in me. He's my sole authority, but submission is a hot-button topic in our culture. Whether you think it should be or not, and to be honest, a lot of that comes from this tension pertaining to marital submission to marriage. And I've heard the joke so many times. Men make this joke. They quote Ephesians 5:24, wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And they take it out of context, and we have to be honest, every joke has the slightest grain of truth to it, at least. And for some, it really isn't a joke either. It's just badly taken out of context. Did you hear the word of the Lord earlier? Submit to one another. Well, here's where it's taken out of context. Here's the very next verse. What's the charge to men? Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What a charge! Husbands, okay, that's me. Love your wives. That's easy. I already love my wife. Just as Christ loved the church. Okay, how did he love the church again? And gave himself up for her. Oh. That really puts it into perspective. Now, if you're married and you hear this passage in its entirety, you really have to look inward. You have to ask yourself some tough questions. Wives, are you willing to surrender to Christ? If the answer is yes, and you have a husband who loves you as Christ loved the church, are you willing to surrender to your husband? Husbands, do you know the true nature of Jesus' love for the church? If the answer is yes, and you have a wife, are you truly loving her as Christ loved the church? It causes us to wrestle. It causes us to deliberate. And this idea of surrender, of submission, is what we're looking at today. And you know who knew a lot about submission? Peter. Peter lived under Roman authority, under Roman rule, in a tumultuous time in history. And my hope today is that we fight through the current cultural tension surrounding this word, and get to the spiritual concept of submission. Because that's true. Submission is a spiritual concept. So we're in 1 Peter chapters 2 and 3, and we're going to follow three different circumstances that followers of Jesus are called to submit in, and the benefit of doing so. We're starting at verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Peter is encouraging those who hear this letter to submit to authority, because here's our big idea: submission honors God. Submission honors, glorifies, brings honor to God. And not just submission to God himself, but submission to human authority, who God has placed in authority. Christians are responsible to obey, to submit to the law. And Peter exhorted his readers to abide by governmental laws, to, in essence, submit to every human authority. And the motivation here is not to just say that we did what we were told to do, but it is for the Lord's sake. Submission is for the Lord's sake, to honor God who ordained human government. Now, we have to make a clarification here. There may come times that laws or other demands from human authority conflict with the teachings of Jesus, with Scripture, or are clearly immoral by God's standards. There is a line in the sand to be drawn. If submission to human authority causes you to go against the law of Scripture, then we say no. Here's an example. In Acts 3, Peter and John, if you remember the story of Acts 3, they heal a lame man, much in the way Jesus healed when he was on earth in ministry, and they do it through his power, through the power of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost. And this is an amazing miracle. And so the people respond and they say, wow, like, what is happening? How did you do that? And Peter and John, they preach the gospel. They preach Jesus Christ. Well, you're living in a time where Jewish authority is not really keen to that sort of thing. And you can imagine the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, the Jewish court, being like, didn't we just go through this with Jesus? I mean, this again? And so they bring in Peter and John, and they detain them, and they question him, and they threaten all these things. And Peter and John are ultimately asked not to speak or teach about Jesus anymore. Don't do that anymore. Here's how Peter and John responded in Acts 4, verse 18. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we just can't help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter and John, they drew a line in the sand. They said, nope, Great Commission. We are called to preach the gospel. And no law and no demand that you have is going to stop us from that. So hopefully that's clear, that there's a tension in submission to human authority. We're not going to go against our call to ministry, they say. Especially when we haven't done any harm. We did the opposite. We healed somebody. And so submission honors God, but when your submission dishonors God's law of love, then it's no longer submission. It's just, well, wrong. So the next section of Peter's letter shows us the advantage we have in living in that tension and submitting to authority in the right way. Verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Here it is, put simply. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk of your faith. I'm a follower of Jesus, so show that. Don't give anyone reason to question your character. Now, this is going to hurt some of you, but I have to go here. After the Bills lost last Sunday, that still hurts. Tyler Bass, the Bills field goal kicker, he faced some persecution. He received death threats. He had to deactivate his social media accounts. A lot of people really angry at him. Imagine sending somebody death threats over their job performance. Not great. So Bills Mafia stood up and said, nope, that's not our character. And instead of going after those people, or maybe they were even bots, I mean, we don't know, they decided to do some good. Now, the Buffalo News reported last Tuesday that a cat adoption agency called the 10 Lives Club, which Bass supports, received over $25,000 in donations as of Monday night. Now, I wrote this script 6 days ago, and since then, the number has ballooned to, the last I heard was $350,000 raised for this agency doing good to silence that foolish and ignorant talk. No. This is who we are. And that's the duality of Bill's Mafia, right? I mean, what's Bill's Mafia known for? First of all, jumping through flaming tables. I mean, we don't really condone that. Okay. But also, catch this, donating to charities of enemies. And it's there that you'll find influence Do good to silence ignorant and foolish talk. Submit willingly and wholeheartedly to honor God. Now, Peter shows the action of submission in two other spots. Here's verse 18. He writes, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Submission honors God because Christ is our example, and he submitted first. Now, we should note here that Peter, scholars agree, is speaking to a particular group of people here, and what the Greek translates as oikotai, or household servants. And this, it's interesting because the usage of this word is unique to this text. And typically, if you were to talk about slaves or bond servants, depending on your translation in the Bible, it would be translated as doulos or doulai. And that's the word that we heard earlier, live as God's slaves, in verse 16. And you can talk about translations and from Greek to English and all this stuff all you want. The reality is, servants and slaves made up a high percentage of the early church. And undeserved punishment and suffering was common for them. It's not pretty, but it's there. In this passage, Peter is challenging those servants to a new posture and attitude towards their masters. Submit to and respect those who are harsh to you. Boy, how hard is that? Why? Why would you make us do that? Out of reverence for God who created him, because submission honors God, even in this circumstance. Who's harsh to you in your life? Who comes to mind as I read this passage? Is it your boss? Is it a bad teacher? That annoying neighbor? Your two-faced friend at school? Is it your own family? We all deal with harsh people. And it helps us to understand the reason why we're called to submit even to harsh people. The motive for submission and service was not respect for their masters. It was not affirmation of their servitude, but it was respect for God, who receives the service as if it were done to him. Submission is not contingent on their master's actions, but extends to the unjust. For God is served and honored when we serve both the just and the unjust. That's Jesus' example. Submission honors God. Flipping over now to chapter 3, we hear about another particular group of people. 1 Peter 3. Wives, in the same way, as those servants, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So did you catch the "in the same way"? In the same way means the same as that last particular group. Out of reverence for God, submit to who? To your own husbands. Now, some background helps us here. In that society, women were expected to follow the religion of your husbands. You can imagine an early Christianity that came out of the Jewish tradition. As it spread, it caused marriages to be mixed religion. You could very easily have a Jewish husband, a Jewish man, and a Christian woman living in the same house. And here's the deal. When the family religion in that context, it was of the husbands. Full stop. There was no negotiating that. You abided by your husband's religion. So Peter is addressing this issue for women whose own husbands are not Christians. And so catch that too. This is your own husbands. This does not mean women submit to all men. Another thing taken out of context, right? This is not a verse that is used by husbands to subjugate their wives. It's actually a verse showing the power of women loving and submitting even when their husband does not believe. What a witness that is, right? So Peter does not suggest that women just give in to their husbands, stop following Jesus, and just submit to their religion. No, they say, submit to Christ. But allow your behavior to show Christ. Submit to him. And this is far more likely to win over, if you will, that husband than just pounding them on the head. Well, here's Christ, here's Christ. He's the Messiah, he's the Messiah. Show it by your actions. And I'll pause briefly here to tell you that I have experienced this. That when I was growing up, I grew up in a non-religious home, a non-Christian home. We were encouraged by my parents to, you know, to believe what you believe, and I'm thankful for that. And as I began to think about a long-term relationship with my wife, and we started deliberating and talking, she was a very devout Christian. And here I was, and I was kind of brand new. I submitted to the Lord in 2006, and we're thinking about long-term, and she could have very easily, I said, well, listen, you've got to be like, you've got to be this, and you've got to do this, and like, Christ is calling you to all these things, and it could have overloaded me, it could have turned me away, it could have done all these things. Instead, it was her love. It was her willingness to follow some somewhat immature, kooky guy like me to live in partnership with when making big decisions. It was the witness of her family. That's what spoke to me over time. And I think I remember it briefly, it was something along the lines of, you know, I'd like my husband to go to church with me. You know, little things like that, but it was never an ultimatum. And here we are, 9.5 years into a blessed marriage, all these years later, and we're working together at church, and I'm preaching God's word. Isn't God amazing? Praise God. God honored her submission with a blessing that has transformed our family forever. Submission honors God. As followers of Jesus submit, we follow in his footsteps. Back to chapter 2, verse 22. Peter writes, he committed no sin, Jesus, committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It's a really well-informed passage by Peter, quoting many prophecies of the Old Testament and many examples. That Jesus is the perfect example of submission. He did not retaliate. He made no threats. Humanly speaking, the provocation to retaliate during Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion, it was immense. Yet he was the suffering servant, committing himself to God, embodying his wholehearted submission to his Father's will. There are a lot of people who are harsh to us. I mean, we can think of them. Imagine what Jesus felt as a fully human, being mocked and beaten and scorned and ridiculed. Here's Jesus, King of the Jews, they say. We think ironically, sarcastically. He suffered in the same way that we do. So we can follow in his example because he lived like us. You have an opportunity through submission to be the light of the world through Christ, to be the salt of the earth, ways that you couldn't possibly fathom. Here's the truth. Submission is a spiritual discipline. It takes work. It takes practice. It takes courage and fortitude to submit. Even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Now, this week, as I prepared for this message, I was drawn to various reasons why people bristle at this word, submission. Even though this word tends to be synonymous with surrender, a word that we champion in the Christian faith. So I looked into these songs because I think musically all the time, and I thought, what songs are about surrender? And I thought of I Surrender All. I thought of Hillsong's I Surrender, New Wine. There's a song by Hillsong that I didn't know called Resurrender. Wow, okay. You want to know how many hits I got for the word submit in worship songs? One. Does anyone know it? It's a song you would know. Blessed Assurance. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Perfect submission. So it's interesting. I think we bristle at this in our culture, this idea of submission. But notice that on your bulletin, I've left you some examples and propose an answer that Jesus gives for each of those. To those who say submission, I don't like that. Jesus says in Philippians 2, 10 to 11, all will submit to me. All will submit. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will shout. And to people who say to submission, you know, I feel powerless. Jesus says, there is power in weakness. To the people who say to submission, you know, I've been abused before. Jesus says, I endured suffering for you. Just as a quick aside, if you are somebody who's been abused, or maybe who is in a situation where there's abuse, physical, spiritual, psychological, please come and find a pastor and talk. Remember what we said earlier, that submission that goes beyond God's law is not really submission. And so you can seek help. We have plenty of people here who are qualified to hear that and know that there is hope for that. And by the way, to the people who say to submission, submission is out of style. That was old school. What does it say in Revelation? Submission is the trend of the future. So let's take a few moments to respond. It's our custom here at Bayview that when we hear God's word, we respond, and we really should, for this message. Because this is a toughie. This is a tough one. We should take some time and healthily wrestle with this idea of submission. And where is that line for us between submission and our faith? So I want you to consider in the next few moments these questions. Where is God calling you to submit in a certain area of your life? Where is God calling you to submission in this part of your life? And what benefit do you think God can bring out of that submission? So you might be thinking, I could submit here, but what's the benefit? Listen to God and hear that. Let's take a few moments to respond together. Father God, we pray for this discipline, this spiritual concept, to be rooted deep in our hearts. And ultimately, we submit to you as our loving Heavenly Father, to submit to Christ as our great High Priest seated at His right hand. We submit to the flowing Spirit of God. But there are struggles that we face, and there are icky things that come with submitting to human authority, and there's evil in the world, and there's preconceived notions, and so we proclaim and lay that out to you and ask for your intervention. We ask that you give us wisdom in how to respond in the appropriate ways to submit, to honor you through that. Father, I pray for each person here that they know your love, that they know your gospel, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us in submission of your will to redeem humanity. So take our lives, take our wills, take our voices, let us sing to you in response. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.